welcome to this NDTV special. Few people know that last year when India was celebrating its historic World Cup win and Yuvraj Singh was being celebrated as the man of the series, he was already battling first stage cancer. In fact, he didn't know it himself. Since then, his successful fight against cancer has proved to be an inspiration for so many others who are fighting the same fight every single day. That is why on this program today, as Yuvraj Singh reaches out to what he's described as the larger cancer family, setting up a special foundation to highlight awareness around cancer and delivering the important message that you can fight it. We're saying today that the most important sixer Yuvraj Singh ever hit was to hit cancer for a six. First, I'd like a big round of applause because this is something that I think we can all learn from and all derive hope from. Yuvraj, Lance Armstrong, whom you've said you derive great inspiration from because he was, after all, somebody who came back from third stage cancer. He had a lovely quote and he said, "Pain is temporary, but quitting is forever." And at some point, you and your mother decided that you would take the pain, but you would not quit. How did you find that strength?
Well, I think we both derive our strength from a Guruji, which my mom is very close to, and myself. And it was definitely the toughest period of our time because I see my life through my mom, and my mom does the same. So I remember getting diagnosed for the first time, and I had to shed tears for 2 days.
You and, cried?
Yes, I did, but I didn't show it to anyone. I try and hide my tears most of the time. I keep my problems to myself. That's the way I am. So it was tough. We were not able to come to terms to what I was going through. And winning the World Cup was great. The feeling sinking in took a bit of a time, but this was just not sinking in. And there was a lot of confusion around the diagnosis, and it took a bit of a time to understand what we need to do about it.
Because you were asked questions about why you delayed diagnosis, why you delayed treatment, why you went in for an alternative treatment at first. Looking back, do you regret any of those choices? What would you advise to other people? Because you spoke a little bit about being in denial at first. You know, it's really the toughest thing, I think, is to say it out loud. Yes, I have cancer.
When somebody tells you you have cancer, it's unacceptable. You don't want to accept it. The first thing you say to yourself, if I have cancer, am I going to live? What I'm going to do? You get scared, you're in denial, you get confused, what I'm going to do? So I don't regret it, but I did make a few mistakes to start, you know, going with alternate therapy and not getting the right diagnosis. I think I delayed my treatment about 3-4 months, which was not the right thing to do. That's why it was a tough time, and it was tough for mom, it was tough for our friends, to understand what I was going through and how we're going to go about it.
Shabnam, I want to ask you, because Yuvraj has said repeatedly that in many ways he wouldn't have got to this point if you weren't there with him every moment of the time. Now, you have a strapping adult hero of a son, you know, and then suddenly was it like having a little baby again?
Yeah, it was like, you know, it was just like having a 2-year-old Yuvraj with me. And he was like scared of everything, you know, everything he looked up to me for assurance, you know. And like it was like kind of a disbelief on his face that, is it really happening to me, you know. And
you know, like little children ask ask parents, if there is a God, why do bad things happen to good people? I mean, is there a little bit of that universal question asking, why is this happening?
No, because I think UV read a lot of books, you know, and he figured it out that it can happen to anybody. So it was not that kind of question. It was just like, you know, the treatment was so painful and so bad, you know, like...
The chemotherapy.
Yeah, it kind of knocked him out totally, you know, because he's a very strong boy. He really had a lot of courage to go through all the tests and get it done. Whatever I would ask him, like, he would just, without no questions asked.
You said it was like having a 2-year-old UV.
Yes.
And he's spoken about how also at times... I mean, he cried his heart out, right?
Yes, he used to cry his heart out. But then he told me that even in Lance Armstrong's book, he's written that the medicines make you cry. So then I realized I have to be strong let him cry, you know, because if I start crying with him, then it's going to be very tough.
Yuvraj, talk a little bit about the psychological battle, because there's your body and what's happening to your body and what chemotherapy is making you feel like. Because you, when you went through chemotherapy and you lost your hair, you put a photograph of yourself out there on Twitter for the world to see. But I'm wondering how somebody like yourself, a celebrity, like I said, good looking, toast of town, you've just sort of been man of the series, women love you, and now there's this other image and you have to make peace with your self-image. Did that throw you into turmoil?
Yes, it did. Initially, I was not coming to terms with it. I was telling my mom that, you know, I don't want to lose my hair. Doc, am I going to lose my hair? He said, yes, you're going to lose your hair, but it's going to come back. So initially, I wasn't coming to terms with it, but the moment my hair started to fall, you know, it was every time I used to get up in the morning, she had to clean the bed. And then I just shaved my hair off and I said, you know, okay, you know, I have to accept this. I have to look like this. I'm not going to look the best. But inside, there was a voice saying that eventually you will get better.
What was the toughest thing, Yuvi, from the time you discover to the place you are today?
Well, the toughest thing was to being positive. It was the drugs were really suppressing me. I was really depressed. And I was not able to, you know, tell myself that I have to come out of it. Every time there was an issue, I used to feel that, you know, my body is not feeling great. I used to try and crack a joke or, you know, I just wanted, you know, love and support. I just wanted people to give me a hug. And it was a time where your body is like a dead body, you know. You just don't know what to do. Your body hurts. You know, the doctor is saying, go for a walk. You don't want to go for a walk. You don't want to see people talking. You know, I got repulsive of red color. I couldn't see red color. You smell food. You want to eat food. But you can't, you know, you got ulcers in your system and you can't eat it. So it's a really depressing feeling, but my mom was always there. She was always making sure that everything was there for me. I think that really made a huge difference.
What was the fear? Was it the fear of watching your body change or was it the fear of possible death? I mean, what is that fear? What shape does it take?
Initially, the fear was of dying. The second thing was my body changing. You know, I saw myself as the worst looking guy ever, an ugly person, but I realized that this is how I'm going to look, but not forever. After a couple of months, you know, I'm going to get better. I'm going to start playing. I just thought about myself being on the ground, walking, running, and there were more bad days than good days. So just motivating and being positive was really tough.
Shabnam, how did you keep yourself going? Because sometimes cancer is as cruel to the family as it is to the person who's battling it.
Yeah, initially when we were in India, I was really scared. But somehow, you know, I was totally a different person when I reached America. Something took over me, like, you know, a sense that this is a child and this is a nation's child and I have to take him back well, you know. And when I met the doctor, they told me everything. It made me more stronger. They said the drugs we are going to give him are going to be very cruel. But make sure that he's not getting any worse. He'll be getting better. So that's what kept me going.
Now, Yuvi, we're going to hear from a number of people here who have their own personal stories. I know they have things to ask of you. But this foundation, you know, that you have now decided to start, what do you think is the biggest gap? Because obviously when you were, are you looking for the badge?
No, I just want to give it to you. You can wear it for me, please.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. So while I'm wearing it, tell us a little bit about this foundation.
The UV Can Foundation is something which is very close to my heart. When I was going through the treatment, there were a lot of talks about what I'm going to do when I go back. I thought I want to help the people who are going through the same disease. I want to give them my support, give them my love, because as a cancer patient, you don't want sympathy, you want love and affection. I want to give them that positive attitude, positive mental frame to stand up for yourself, stand up for your family, and fight it out. My team went to Austin Lance Armstrong Foundation and saw what the setup was. So we started to work on those terms. You know, I didn't know that how much time I'm going to play or if I'm going to play, but my most important cause was to go and help people out there who've gone through the same pain I'm going through. So I just want to be the face of cancer. I want to go there and help people out.
What you said was really important. You said people who are battling cancer don't want pity. And a lot of people, what they offer is pity. How
humiliating or irritating or annoying is that pity?
It's very irritating. It gets to your nerves. And a lot of times when people have been coming, I've told my mom, I said, tell them not to give me sympathy. I am not a weak person and I can handle this. If I am feeling bad, if I am feeling low, I will come and hug you. And I used to hug her about 20 times a day. So I was fine.
I think you need to give her a hug right now. Because you smiled when he said that. Did that happen a lot? Did he get really irritated of people's pitiful glances?
Yes. Don't ask them to pity me. My brother texted me from India. We saw UV on TV and it made me cry. I said, why the hell, you know, do people act like this? And believe me, I came to India and he was in England that time. And I saw kind of program on him. And I started crying, you know. And he used to get so irritated ki mere ko kisi ne aake sympathy nahi dikhani, pity nahi dikhani. You know, just be nice, laugh with me. And people used to see him, they would start crying. So that used to unnerve him.
Well, I know what Yuvraj is saying is striking a chord with so many people here because they have experienced this as well. And Yuvraj has used the term that, you know, you're part of the larger cancer family. Yuvi, what did you mean by that term?
The family means, you know, anybody who's going through the same kind of motion, or, you know, he's or she is struggling in life to find support. I want to support them. So, you know, there's a young man next to you who's fighting it out, and I see a stronger individual coming out of him. So very proud to see him like this.
Well, let me just tell our viewers about him. Pranav next to me is 16, battling cancer, in fact, almost battled it completely. Both of you had a doctor in common, and you ended up, Yuvraj, writing a letter to him. What made you write that letter, and what did you say in that letter?
Well, I said, Pranav, be strong. You know, I'm there for you, and, you know, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. I hope your family is supporting you, and anything you need, I'm always there for you.
Well, Pranav and his parents are here. And Pranav, you know, you're 16. Yuvraj is 30. He's seen the world. You're a school kid. How old were you when you discovered you had cancer?
In fact, the most surprising thing is when I got diagnosed with cancer, it was my birthday that day. So that morning, my father told me. In fact, my father went to my principal to apply for the holidays. So he called me up. He said that cancer is curable. So then I came to know that I was suffering from it. I went for a party with my friends. The next day only, I had forgotten everything that I was suffering from cancer.
You weren't scared?
No, because I had forgotten.
Never.
I had forgotten.
You
had
forgotten?
I had forgotten the next day. So then the next day, we had to go for that test and all the scans, the biopsy procedure. Then I really got to know that what was going through my body. And then I prepared myself. I met my doctor. Because we have a team of 5 doctors where I also got to know Dr. Nitesh. My major doctor is Dr. Amish Vora. So I met him, he gave me the strength. Seeing him, I said, this guy is going to cure me. So I was full of confidence. Now going through it, it's all over. Normal person.
Great. So no sleepless nights?
Sleepless nights, yes.
Sleepless nights?
Yes.
What did you lie awake thinking about?
I used to think that this medicine is doing this, same thing with him, that hair are gone. So I also went for a self-shave only. When my hair started falling, I thought, chalo yaar, katwai dete hain. So then I went, had a shave. Now the hair are also coming back, even between chemotherapy. So doctor said it's good, they'll come back. Now
And you worried like UV about not being good looking enough? First, I want to tell Yuvraj that's not true. You're still as good looking.
Yes.
No, isn't that true?
Yes, he's still good looking. And now we are hoping that he makes a comeback in the World T20. We know. Him there.
Yuvi, what would you say to him?
I'm just amazed to see his confidence. You know, at the age of 16, he's derived so much of confidence within himself. And he's actually forgotten that he has cancer the next day, which is really impressive. I wish I could do that. But it's just nice to see, you know, him bubbly and positive. And you can see the effect on his face.
You want to say anything to Yuvraj?
Just a better health and a good healthy life for him, and seeing him on the field.
I wish you the same.
Thank you.
Let me just hear from the parents. Your son is amazing, but aapke liye kya itna aasan tha?
Nahin, mere liye itna aasan nahi tha. Mere liye abhi bhi aasan nahi hai.
Be confident.
It's okay. There's no embarrassment in feeling emotional. It's a big battle you fought.
Yes.
घबरा गई थी, मगर अब ठीक है।
बहुत डर लगा होगा?
बिकॉज ही इज द ओनली सन, मैं बहुत डर गई थी, बहुत ज्यादा डर गई थी कि क्या होगा, मगर सिर्फ डॉक्टर्स ने हमें कॉन्फिडेंस दिया और इसका कॉन्फिडेंस देखा तो ना मैं राइट, अब मैं ठीक हूँ।
Pranav, you want to say something to your mom?
Nothing. Bano Daleria.
Bano Daleria. Shabnam, as a mom, you can probably relate to it because at different moments, people have different times of strength and weakness. You know, one day the parents are feeling braver than the kid, one day the kid's feeling braver. What would you say to this mother, mother to mother?
I don't know. Looking at him, I would never cry. I mean, he's such a wonderful child, you know. He should give you all the confidence.
I have seen you cry for 2 days, so please don't do
No, I cried the first, but you never saw me crying during your treatment.
Yeah, you used to close your door and cry by yourself, so don't say that I never cried.
Shabnam, maybe we should also say that there is no embarrassment in crying. This is it's a highly emotional journey. It's okay to cry.
It's just a state of mind, Barkha. That's what I feel, you know. If you feel that, you know, that it shouldn't be happening and this and that, you'll always end up crying.
Did you have moments like she's having?
Yes, when he was diagnosed, yes, of course, you know, I couldn't believe it that this is happening, you know. But then slowly, I had to realize, I had to do it. I had to get him cured.
As a father, aap kuch bolna chahenge?
Main yahi kahunga ki sabse pehle, jab mujhe pata laga, diagnose hua, to sirf 2 minute ke liye maine apni aankhein band ki aur apne God se, मैं अपने गुरु नानक जी से मैंने अरदास की, तो अपने मेरे मन में आवाज आई, नहीं ये ठीक होगा और मुझे फाइट करनी है। तो मैंने उसी दिन से अरदास करके इसका स्टार्ट कर दिया। तो इसका लक बहुत अच्छा था कि हम जैसे जैसे मैं आगे जाता रहा, मुझे हर चीज रास्ता इजीली मिलता रहा। मैं ये समझता हूँ कि भगवान तो ऊपर बैठा है, वो खुद तो नहीं आएगा, लेकिन वो अमीशवर डॉक्टर जैसे आदमी डॉक्टर भेजते हैं, जो कि जिसने मेरे बेटे को बिल्कुल ही अपने बेटे से ज्यादा केयर किया।
Shabnam, do you want to come in on that? That what, you know, you said that your Guruji, for both of you, was a big source of inspiration and strength. People find different things to keep them going.
My Guruji gave me a lot of strength. He told me to take him to America. He wanted to go to England. And he says he'll be absolutely fine when you come back. And when he went to England, it was a 6 month treatment. When we went to America, it was just 2.5 months treatment. So My Guruji was always right and is always right, you know. So, I had full confidence in him.
Yuvraj, can I ask you something? Because I can see Pranav here, you know, it's telling his mom, hating the fact that she's in pain. And I know that for the person who's battling cancer, first it's your own body, your own fears, and then it's what it's doing to your family. You know, and that makes you feel doubly worse, doesn't it?
I think it causes more pain to your family than yourself. If you can see over there, you know, he's quite okay with it. My mom is emotional about him because you can only ask a mother what a child means to him. So my mom can be a tigress right now and show that, you know, she's been all cool about it. But I've seen my mom like that. It's not easy on your parents. It's not easy on my friends. You know, my best friends were there. One of my best friends, Mr. Sandeep Sharma, is on
is
top.
Is he here, up there? Let's
He's
see
up there and Mr. Amit Sharma wouldn't come. He's still okay.
There he is, Sandeep. Yeah.
Of course, Nishant Roda.
And Nishant is up there somewhere as well.
He used to cook rice for me. So, you know, they made it special for me. They wanted me to get better.
He also learned cooking, by the way, during
that. Yeah. So, I read somewhere that you said it was driving you insane just to be doing nothing and you just decided then to learn how to cook. Is that how you ended up doing it?
Yeah, everything was just driving me insane. So, I tried to cook, I was playing a bit of video games. It was hard for me to step out of the house and go for a walk. So, spend a little time cooking and, you know, trying to get better.
You said only a mother, especially a mother, knows what this feels like. And even tiger moms, like the ones we see here and here, you know, they have moments of meltdown. And next to me is Meetu Puri. And Meetu's son was diagnosed with cancer. And while here we are hoping for a happy ending, here was not a happy ending. Meetu, tell us, your child was four when
he was diagnosed.
What kind of cancer?
He had neuroblastoma, which is a rare form of pediatric cancer. And he was diagnosed in 2007, underwent treatment, high-dose chemotherapy, radiation, surgeries, stem cell transplant, everything. And he relapsed within 5 months of treatment. And we lost him 4 months after that.
And he was 6 years old then?
He was six when
What was his name?
Jaisal.
Jaisal. And today, you're able to sit here with a smile on your face, garnering all the strength you have, reaching out to other people who are suffering, who are fighting. Why is that so important to you?
For me, actually the first year, year and a half after he was no more was very difficult. I didn't want to move out. I didn't want to do very much. But then I decided to help other kids who are battling cancer and started volunteering at the All India Institute. There are so many children over there, and they're far worse off than all of us because they don't have, they're uneducated, the parents. They don't have financial support. They don't have emotional support. They don't know what's happening. So it gave me a lot of strength to be there, and these kids over there give you a lot of strength. It's unbelievable the amount of strength they can give you.
So, and is that also a way of keeping Jaisal alive for you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anything you'd like to sort of look for in this foundation now that, you know, there are now number of cancer help groups. Now you have Yuvraj's group as well.
We're also into doing palliative care for children. In fact, we formed a society where we want to help children. End of life care is not very good in our country. So we're looking at helping children there. So it would be great if we can get some help from you.
And Yuvraj's story, what does it say to you?
Amazing. He needs to fight.
Yeah. Yuvraj, can I ask you something a little different? You've said that it actually changed the person you were. Right? Because suddenly what used to feel important no longer felt that important. What has changed about you? When you step out of yourself, and I'm going to ask your mom the same question, how have you changed as a person?
First of all, I never felt important. I never wanted to be, you know, feeling important from anything, but it was important for me to have a second chance in life. It was important for me to live for my mother, live for my family, because tomorrow if I was not there, they would go through more pain that I have gone through. I have to come back and tell people out there that if you are strong, you will survive. You know, there are stages of cancer where you can't survive. That's not in your hand. All you can do is pray.
You don't think you're fundamentally different today?
I am, I think, in a different way now. A human is more dear to me as it used to be. I care about a normal person more than I used to. I respect mothers more. I always, you know, mother is the biggest thing for me in this life.
Shabnam, how do you find Yuvraj changed?
No, he used to say that if I perform tomorrow, what, I'll be out of the team and this and that, you know. And what if I don't perform well tomorrow? So now he says, no, I don't want to think about that. I just want to go out and play and enjoy myself. I just want to enjoy life. And you've gone through it for the 3-4 months. You've gone through a lot of pain. But see what, maybe God wants you to inspire a lot of people, you know, you are coming out of it. So that's what we thought, and you know, that's how we carried on.
Do you worry sometimes, and I know it might seem like a strange question, but I ask it only because cricket was your life. And priorities do change when you're fighting something like cancer. Do you then worry that it takes away the competitive edge because suddenly the priorities are a little different? It's not the most important thing in life to go out and win that match or win that award or win that recognition or hit that sixer. You know, something else becomes more important.
It's not less important.
No.
But early on, it was the only thing in my life.
Yeah. Okay.
And I eat, sleep, cricket. It was just cricket all the time. Now I understand, yes, I do want to play cricket. That's my passion. I've always loved it. Loved playing for the country. Wearing the India logo has been it's been a huge honor for me all my life. But that's only for me. But what for the people? You know, there has to be something. If I've got a second life, I need to do something for the people out there. How I can help people. How I can be a source of inspiration to them. And so, you know, that really matters to me now. That's why this UVCAN has coming, is to help people out there. Cricket is going to be next 5 years, next 8 years,
yeah.
3 years, I don't know. but this is going to be the biggest venture of my life.
Well, I know a lot of people here are deriving their sense of hope from you. And let's just hear from Preeti Grover. Preeti, tell us a little bit about yourself. You lost your mother and your father to cancer.
And my sister-in-law as well. She died 3 weeks ago. And
she died 3 weeks ago?
Yes, 3rd of June, a month ago. My father died 6 months ago. My mom, it's been 11, 12 years now. So I had two full-time cancer patients. They were admitted in the same hospital in different rooms at the same time. So it was not just emotionally exhausting, it was physically exhausting as well.
And you still got to keep going, and you've got to be the source of strength for them. You know, as Shabnam was saying, at some point she couldn't afford to let her guard down because she had to be strong for her son.
She's right, because what happens is that my sister didn't even know the extent of her disease. Right till the end, she didn't know how bad she was. You give her hope, so you lie all the time. Because if you don't lie to her, if you tell her she had ovarian cancer, now that has a life of just 3 to 5 to 6 months. So how do you tell that to her? She's a criminal lawyer from Delhi High Court, very active, doing very well. How do you tell somebody like that at the, you know, at that age, you're not going to live? She kept saying, all I want to do is just go back to the courts. You know, she had reached a point, there wasn't even enough flesh. They wanted to give her injections and they didn't know what to do with it. You know, kahan dale, sui kahan dale. She lost about 25 kilos. And how do you tell her? How is she going to go through that? If you tell her that all this is going to be in vain, so all the treatment that we did, we knew that she's not going to come out of it. There's no way you could have told her that. So therefore, even as late as 10 days before she died, she kept saying, bas iske baad, bas iske baad jana hai.
She didn't know how bad it was?
No.
And you didn't tell her naturally?
No. You know, it's about a month before she was diagnosed, which was on 7th of February 2011. A breakfast one morning, she just, because my father was already diagnosed with cancer, so she knew that I was into it. You know, I became the family doctor. By the end of all this, you become half an oncologist yourself. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that I can look at a report and I know what to look for in it. With three patients, it happens. So for some reason that morning, she tells me, you have to, she wasn't married. So she says, will you promise, agar mujhe kabhi kuch hoga, will you take care of me? And I said, like, shut up, we were on vacation. And she was like, no, you have to promise me. And I said, yes. She says, no, you have to promise me, you know, promise me. You have to hold my hand and tell me. And I said, yes, I will. So, promise one, the second promise, agar mujhe kabhi kuch ho jaye, don't let me feel too much of pain. And if I get very bad, mercy killing. These three things is what she asked for. And I think, as they say that they have a lot of faith in Guruji, I think I had a lot of faith in Dr. Nitesh. A lot of faith in Dr. Huda. We were very blessed. Dr. Harit, they aren't just great doctors, I think they're great human beings.
Yeah.
And that is so much more important than even competence. If your doctor isn't on the same page with you emotionally, it just doesn't work.
Did you experience something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Dr. Nitesh was treating him here in India. And there was not even a moment, you know, if it was 3 o'clock in the night, he would just pick up my phone and reassure me, don't worry, do this, do that. You, because in America, you don't have doctors on call. You cannot call a doctor in the middle of the night and say, hey, this is what's happening. And he flew down twice to see him. He was so sweet. So I cannot thank.
You must talk a little bit about what she says about hope. You know, hope is the kind of thing where you offer hope to people to keep them going. But sometimes the hope giver feels like they're not telling the patient the complete truth. Yet you felt you had no choice, right?
You can't read. There are days you can't read. You know, she looks up at me and she's like, इतना दर्द हो रहा है, कांट बेयर इट, एंड आई एम लाइक अच्छा बस ये गोली खा लो, जिससे कुछ होता तो है नहीं, ऐसा क्या बात कर रहे हो, कितना कुछ होता है. एंड डॉक्टर नितेश वुड समटाइम्स टॉक अबाउट युवराज एंड से यू नो मैं जा रहा हूँ एंड दिस इज हैपनिंग एंड दैट्स हैपनिंग, बट द बेस्ट थिंग वाज दे वुड अलाउ अस टू, आई वुड टेक्स्ट देम एंड दे वुड रिप्लाई फ्रॉम देयर. नो कीमोथेरेपी कैन गिव यू दैट,
या बिकॉज मेडिसिन ही वुड से ही वुड थ्रो, आई डोंट वांट दिस मेडिसिन, इट्स नॉट हेल्पिंग, आई एम फीलिंग द सेम यू नो, सो ही वुड जस्ट थ्रो इट आउट यू नो, ही वोंट टेक देम बिकॉज
बट आई वांट टू आस्क युवराज अबाउट, बट
ही न्यू ही इज गोइंग टू सर्वाइव,
दैट्स व्हाट आई वांट टू आस्क यू, डिड यू ऑलवेज बिलीव that you were going to make it?
Yeah, you do have self doubts. I didn't know if I'm going to make it or not till I got to America, till Dr. Einhorn said to me, you're going to walk out as a free man of cancer. So it's only a cancer patient can realize how much pain he's going through. And your family members, your close, who are there with you all the time, only they can understand the pain you're going through. But people who just sit and talk about, they don't have a clue what... Yeah. A cancer patient is going through.
Yes. Yeah. We have time for just a couple more questions. Poonam Bagai?
Yes.
Yeah, Poonam. You're a survivor. And I think we also need to hear, we've heard some very tragic stories of endings that we wish weren't, you know, the way they ended. But there are also stories of extraordinary courage, aren't there, Poonam? Yes. Tell us about yourself.
He is a story of extraordinary courage. And I think in our country, what we need is people like him. We need people, celebrities, people who can come out and inspire. I think you're a hero for many, many childhood cancer kids who prayed for you. And I think we need more people like that. And then when Lance was ill, and this is in his book, that when he got better, he asked the doctor, now what? And the doctor said, there are two doors. You can take that door, shut the door, and the story is finished. It's done. You can put it in your past. Or you can take it and make something out of it. So that's what we want our survivors to do. So I'm hoping that, yes, UVCAN will make that difference, because we need people to come out and talk about cancer in our country.
Is there a stigma of any kind?
Of course there's a...
What's the stigma you felt? You're a colon cancer survivor?
I'm a colon cancer survivor, yes. And I think what I've seen coming back, you know, in India is that so many people in the villages, everywhere, people will say, "Hame bola gaya, ye tum mar jayenge." Basically, the stigma attaches to people think cancer is death. So, you know, this is a person who's going to die. People think, well, you know, lung cancer, all because of tobacco. That stigma, it's strange.
That's somehow you brought it on yourself. Is that an answer?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I know the foundation is also going to be looking at this stigma that people are talking about. Did you ever feel that? Did you ever feel that somewhere people were saying, kuch kiya hoga isne, isliye ye hua hoga? Because Shabnam, you're agreeing with that. Because they were like, can it be because of smoking and drinking, you know, all that stuff, you know. People started making... All sort of judgments. When Dr. Nitesh said, no, it's like, it's from the birth. So he explained it to them very nicely, and that's how then everybody calmed down. But yes, people start guessing, ye hoga, wo hoga, you know.
So, did you feel that, Yuvraj?
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a lot of stigma around it, what kind of cancer you have. The moment I got diagnosed, everybody's saying I've got lung cancer. So it, you know, we need to understand what the real cause of cancer is. And how are you going to go about it?
On the other side of the break, we hear from caregivers and how complicated the idea of hope can be, of how it's the only thing that keeps people going.
I used to cry day in, day out, but when I used to face her, she was so positive, always. Main bilkul theek hoon, mujhe kuch hua hi nahi hai, mujhe kuch hua hi nahi hai.
Program today, we have some extraordinary people sharing their own personal journeys, their own personal fights, and also with us, Yuvraj and his mother Shabnam, who's been a very, very crucial part of this journey for life. I want to hear now from two sisters. We have here Deepthi and Mukta, and let me just come and sit next to you. Yuvraj, tell us about yourself.
When I went to meet my doctor, he's my surgeon, Dr. Siddharth Sani, who I believe is very, very good. The first thing he said was, I have good news and bad news. And I said, okay, give me the bad news first. He said, you've got cancer. And I said, what's the good news? He said, it's curable and you'll be absolutely fine. And never once did I think that I'm going to die, because I was going to fight it. and nobody can, no cancer can take my life from me. And it's okay. If you've got it, it's okay. I was the one in the family who was doing everything right. I was going for my walks. I was eating right. I was doing everything right. And still it happened. So there is...
How much of it do you think is about the mind winning over matter?
100%. Anyone can go get over it. Anyone at all. Because there is no reason. You know, the first time, Yuvi, when your picture came in the newspaper without hair, my father said, "Tusi dono ta maa bhai bhan lagte ho." My father speaks in Punjabi and I said, "Nahi, nahi." And he said, "Dekh, dono ganje ho." Dono gore gore aise hi baithe ho. And you know, and when you compare, yes, now I am wearing my wig, which is, I think, horrible. But
I couldn't even make out she was wearing a wig.
Sorry, Yuvraj, you couldn't make out she was wearing a wig?
No, I couldn't make out.
No, it's just
I couldn't even make out that you had cancer. You look so wonderful.
No, it's just that you just want to throw it away and you said to hell with it. It's okay. If I have it, let people see, yes, I don't have hair, it's okay. And it's going to grow back. Even if it doesn't grow back, it's okay. Because at the end of the day, you are what you are. And what it made me realize was that family is so important. So important, because I'm so obliged to my mother who's sitting here, who's looked after me day in and day out and never made me feel that, you know, that we are not going to win.
So let's hear from mom here. Mom, do you want to add something here?
She's the person who was very, very positive since first day. I used to cry. I used to go to the bathroom. I used to sit in my car. I used to cry day in, day out. But when I used to face her, she was so positive, always. Main bilkul theek hu, mujhe kuch hua hi nahi hai, mujhe kuch hua hi nahi hai. And even now, when someone comes to my house, she's not wearing her wig or wearing her scarf, I keep telling her, "You please cover your head." She says, "I can't see myself. Whosoever sees me, it's her problem. It's not my problem."
So Mukta, you never felt self-conscious about... No? You want to answer that? Yeah?
I had to force her to wear this wig today. I said, "You're on national TV, you can't do this."
So I want to understand.
You can't do this to the family.
So you were planning to come without your wig?
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why was it important to you that she was...
I don't know. I mean, I think image is very important. She doesn't. She says life is more important. That's really good. She is so inspiring. I mean, you know, when we detected this thing, she said, "Don't give me calls of people telling me be positive. I'm already positive. I hate this word, be positive."
So, Yuvi, you want to say something to these amazing sisters here?
I won't say be positive. She's already, you know, she's a... looks like a very happy-go-lucky person, and she's got great spirit, and that's wonderful to see. And it's just wonderful to see a cancer survivor smiling and being so proud about herself. It's amazing.
And you look beautiful with or without that hair.
Yeah,
I've got
exactly.
to tell you that, right? Don't you agree?
Yes, of course.
All right, just a couple of last things, and then we have to start winding up. I have here with me somebody, who actually almost lost his voice because of throat cancer, Satish Sahani and wife Shashi Sahani. And Satish ji ko throat cancer aapko hua tha, lekin ab aap dusron ki madad karte hain speech therapy mein. Aur ab aap kuch bataan, aap khud bolna chahenge, bataiye.
Tere wo sir 12 saal ho gaye operate hue, mera diagnosed din dial upadhyay hospital kara, ye mera joint फैमिली है, सब बोले हम प्राइवेट कराएंगे, फिर मैं राजीव गांधी
हॉस्पिटल में गए,
हॉस्पिटल आए, मेरा आवाज 2 साल तक नहीं आया, 2 साल के बाद बैंकॉक गया, जापान वाले बैंकॉक में एक ऑर्गेनाइज करते हैं, हमारे जैसे पेशेंट को बोलना सिखाते।
मैं आपसे पूछना चाहूंगी, और आप इतनी मतलब आप हमें समझा रहे हैं कि आप गए और वहां पे आपका डायग्नोसिस हुआ और आपकी आवाज इस वजह से ये हो गई, पर आप स्पीच थेरेपी में, शशि जी आप बताइए, थोड़ा सा आप बताइए क्या करते हैं सतीश जी?
ये राजीव गांधी में अब सिखाते हैं, क्योंकि ये 1 महीना लगा के आए थे थाईलैंड में
जी,
तो वहां से सीख कर आए थे बोलना, तो अब ये राजीव गांधी में सबको सिखाते हैं, अब उन्होंने अपॉइंट किया हुआ है इनको।
So there are extraordinary stories in a sense of never say die, of never giving up. Ma'am, you're a survivor as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about yourself?
The day I heard about the day I was diagnosed with cancer, one of the first thoughts that came to my mind was, thank God it's me and not my loved ones. I don't know, that's the first thought that came to my mind. I think I wouldn't have been able to handle if it was somebody else. Because my husband here and everyone else in my family was so supportive throughout my treatment. It was incredible. There were times when my friends would actually be waiting at the door talking, how do we go in? What do we say to her, you know? And then I would say, I'm not going to eat you up. Yeah. Come on in. You know, just walk in and then they would be fine.
And that was irritating that people felt they had to tiptoe around you?
I would laugh, actually. It was irritating once in a while, but then I guess I found it, it was up to me that to let them know that I'm going to be fine. So, please,
don't do this. Did that happen to you? Did you find that some people changed around you or were friends? Because you've spoken about Kumble coming to meet you, Sachin coming to meet you. Obviously, your cricketing friends were great. The two friends you've mentioned who are here were great. But did other people change? Did they get weird around you?
Yeah, I stopped getting calls from a lot of people.
Really? Did that actually happen?
No, you come to know who's there for you and who's not. Who actually was your friend and who's not. Because this is something which some people feel, oof, agar main iske saath jaunga to, if I touch him, I might not get cancer. There are also people like that around you. So it was, I don't know, you know, cancer is a good thing or a bad thing. It was a period in my life where I actually understood that who are my real friends and who are the people who really matter are here next to me.
And that's an important life lesson, isn't it? You wanted to say something? Yeah, बोलिए.
मुझे 98 में कैंसर फर्स्ट टाइम ब्रेस्ट कैंसर डायग्नोज हुआ था और उसके बाद मैं बिल्कुल 7 ईयर बिल्कुल ठीक रही हूँ और मैं बड़ी पॉजिटिव फीलिंग रखती थी. मेरे छोटे छोटे बच्चे थे तो बिल्कुल ठीक थी. फिर आफ्टर 7 ईयर 2005 में मुझे फिर
रिलैप्स हुआ.
दोबारा मुझे कैंसर हुआ बोन मेटाटासिस. तो उसके बाद फिर मेरी कीमो वगैरह हुई और फिर मैं ठीक हो गई बिल्कुल एब्सोल्युटली. फिर बाद में 2010 में मुझे फिर से डायग्नोज हुआ.
पर आप फिर भी इतनी काम
और
है,
मैं इतनी है। मतलब मेरे अंदर बहुत पॉजिटिविटी है. मैं बहुत लोगों की भी काउंसलिंग करती रहती हूँ और कभी मैं सोचती नहीं हूँ कि मैं बीमार हूँ. खुश रहती हूँ हमेशा. कभी नहीं मैंने सोचा.
पर ये आपने एक बहुत जरूरी बात बोली कि मैं कभी सोचती ही नहीं कि मैं बीमार
हूं. नहीं, मैंने कभी नहीं सोचा.
यू वांट टू ऐड टू दैट?
See, I am also a breast cancer survivor. And here I've been listening stories about how mothers have been an inspiration. I'm a mother. And my son was 2 years old when I was diagnosed. So yeah, the first thing that comes to your mind is, how will he survive? A mother is very important. What will he do if I'm not here? So there are times when I think that if I'm not here, I keep telling my mother sometimes that if I go, then... But then, you know, cancer is a battle that you fight every day. So there are days when I look at him and I'm like, listen, everything is fine. At least now I have today to live. And one more thing that even now when I go for tests, you know, I go alone. Because in case there is a problem, I want to first know it myself before I can tell anybody else about it. My mother, my parents, they're all old, child is small. And I think my inspiration was this one line that I read somewhere. When I found out I had cancer, every time on the net I was typing, how long will I live? How long will I live? And there was this line, it just popped out somewhere, and it said that you may survive breast cancer, but then you may die of a car accident. What would you do then? So then I thought that, okay, at least life has given me this option of planning. Howsoever, it's been 2 years now, I'm fine, I'm perfect. I'm on medications, and my husband, for example, he thinks I'm so strong. My parents think I'm so strong. They don't say that you'll come out of it. They say, you have to come out of it. I mean, you're out of it. They've forgotten, you know. Yeah. But I would also like to add that the emotional strength, I think family and all is important, but I'm the eldest in the family. In parents, yeah. I was the eldest and young child. And, you know, how do you share everything? So I do feel that groups like this, you know, when you can talk and share and see that pain is all around, we have to just pause and see that there are others also who are suffering. And just take...
Shabnam, do you feel that as a mom, having gone through this, you know, through this foundation now, you want to be able to talk to other moms? I mean, this is a mom who herself is a cancer survivor.
cancer.
Yes, of course. I mean, any ways I can help anybody to feel better, I would try and do that. And this thing is the cause of the cancer, you know, there's like what I feel is there's so many pesticides being sprayed into our food and everything that really makes me feel bad. So if I can make a difference on that, I would love to do that first.
Yeah. Sanjay, you're actually going to be somebody who's pretty much going to be looking after this foundation that Yuvraj has started, apart from, of course, his entire portfolio. When you're hearing all the people here, you know, does that in a sense help you understand what the foundation needs to focus on, what it's going to be focusing on?
Yes, completely. In fact, I am extraordinarily inspired because I guess all these heroes, they're not just cancer survivors or fighters, but they also give inspiration to people who are fence-sitters of hope. I mean, you know, there could be a person, you know, wanting to commit suicide because he doesn't have a job for 6 months. But here are guys who actually fought and who've seen parents, children, families, the fighters themselves, the patients themselves. And I think this entire inspiration that I take back with me is going to get translated into a further agenda than the agenda that we already have. And I'm sure we'd go out there and try and make a reasonable dent in the society. And it'll take time. It'll take time.
There's a lot of difference here. I think you're hearing that from absolutely, people.
Absolutely.
Like
absolutely. And this is like, and this is what happened with me when I was in the US. I mean, I didn't spend too much of time like our other friends, but I did manage to get an experience of what UV was going through. And that personal exposure was the one that drove that entire passion in me to go out there and help him make a dent in society, you know. And I'm sure we're going to continue taking a lot of inspiration, continue learning, because, you know, we've just started. And I can only say one thing, that we are here to stay. And we'll, you know, 20 years down the line, we'll meet again. And we sincerely hope that together we've tried to make some difference, at least.
Well, that's a good note to end on. I'm sorry, I know a lot of you have questions, but I'm going to give the last word here to this young boy here. Yes.
Sir, I don't agree with people when they say you looked ugly when you lost your hair, sir. I thought you looked like a vocalist of a rock band all along. Yes, sir. And sir, I just had one question. Many sports legends have related to this before, but I just wanted to hear the answer from your mouth, because I have an aunt back in Assam who's suffering from blood cancer. So, you know, we live in a country of billion people where a million people aspire to be cricketers. A lakh of them go into cricket institutions. Thousands of them are good enough. 100 of them are good enough to play for the main team, and only 11 make it on the field. And when you look at it from the world's perspective, it's much bigger. And then only one player becomes the player of the tournament. So I'm sure at that point of time, you never asked God, why did you become the player of the tournament? And when you were diagnosed with cancer, sir, at that point of time, did you ask God why?
No, I never did.
Why not?
That's the exact same thing I said. They asked me at the press conference that. I said, when I got Man of the Series of the tournament, I never asked God that why me. But why should I ask God today that why me? So, yeah. You know, there. End of the day, I'm just a human, and, you know, it's a disease. We've all gone through it, and we've come out of it. We are heroes in our own way. We are inspiration in our own way, and we keep on giving inspiration to each other, and hopefully all of us who survived today will do this in the near future, helping other patients, and we can have a lot of happy faces and happy families.
You've heard all these people today. Does it, in a sense, echo some of your own feelings? What are the thoughts it leaves you with?
Only I know how I've controlled my tears tonight, but you know, it's sad. It is. I can't really express how a mother loses her own child. I don't have words for that. It's been.
Shabnam, any last thoughts as we end?
No, it's. I mean, now meeting these wonderful people here, you know, and then I know that I've not been alone, and I just want to help, you know, whatever I can do, you know, in future. And cricket is not the only thing. Now there are two C's in our life: cricket and cancer. So hope we can do our best in that.
And you're hoping to see you back on the field.
Yes, I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have prayed for my health, and they also prayed for me to get back on the field. So, you know, the day will come when I think I'll get back and, you know, shine again for my country.
Well, you shone for your country, but in many ways, Yuvraj, you're shining in an even more deep and everlasting way, I know, for people who feel the need to to believe that they can make it. So more power to you and more power to all of you for sharing your personal stories with us. And we may not ask God why, but whoever your personal God is, we hope that they keep you in good strength and keep the fighting spirit up. Thank you, Yuvraj and Shabnam, and thank you very much, all of you.